2 weeks ago, we had a lesson on how the Word of God is sweet to the taste, but then can be bitter in the stomach. And how sometimes the more you learn, you know, with much wisdom comes much grief, Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 18. So what we're going to do today is remind ourselves that it's not always bitter. So I intended to preach this lesson last week, while maybe the previous lesson would have been a little bit more fresh in your minds. But you might recall how throughout the course of that lesson, we talked about the more you learn about the Word of God, the more you learn about people you care, how they're going to be lost, the more heartbreaking it can become sometimes to gain knowledge, how it can become stressful to learn responsibilities. With knowledge comes responsibility. The more you know, the more that's expected out of you. And sometimes that can become quite overbearing. When you couple that with life, sometimes you open your Bible and you just say, you know, I just want to read some things to put me at peace. And then maybe you turn to some scriptures that don't help, right? For example, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I open my Bible up and I say, you know, I want to study a little bit and make myself feel good. So a lot of the times when I study, I have a specific text or task in mind. But sometimes I like to just open the Bible and then just start wherever I pick up and then go from there. And that generally turns into quite a distraction from anything. So let's say we just opened our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. And it's been a bad day. As Sheila would say, sometimes she'd been vexed at work. You've had a bad day. Judy just got done doing a load of taxes. Somebody wants to kill her because they owe money. So you turn over here and you start and you're reading and you come to verses 5 through 11. And you see Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5 through 11, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death of Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Now that's not real encouraging, is it? I mean, in one way you could see, hey, I can be persecuted but not cast down. I can reach bad times and not be in despair. But then you get to thinking, here's a beloved apostle of the Lord who has devoted his life to the cause of Christ, and he's suffering. He could think, I came to the Bible today because I want some encouragement. And here I'm reading this. So then you say, okay, I'm going to flip back and read about Jesus. That's encouraging, right? So I come back to John chapter 16 maybe and start talking about how he was going to send the Holy Spirit on the apostles and looking at the context there. And then I come down to verse 33 of John 16 and I read, "These things have I spoken to you, that me ye have my peace, and that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And I think, wait a minute. I just went from 2 Corinthians 4, persecuted. Now I'm over here, Jesus is telling the apostles, you're not going to have peace in the world. Tribulation. There goes my good day, right? As if it weren't bad enough. And you begin to study. And you're looking at other verses and you're trying to find the good. Fact is, sometimes the bitter is there. Sometimes you find the struggle of verses like Philippians 4:13, where Jesus said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Sometimes you read those verses, but life gets so heavy and so hard that you're struggling to find that strength. And sometimes those verses that you really need to read aren't the ones you're turning to. Sometimes you're reading some of the quote unquote negative. There's really not a negative. If you put it in perspective, if you've got a spiritual mind, but for the sake of our discussion at this point, you're just having a bad day and the scriptures aren't helping. And as you continue to study, you think about Paul. And sometimes looking at men of courage or women of courage can help you feel worse than better, right? If you're in despair, and here you are looking at this person going through everything negative, and they're just happy as can be. That doesn't always help, does it? How's he or she so happy? They're going through worse than I am. How is he or she? Sometimes we even turn a positive into a negative. For example, look over at Acts chapter 20. Paul not only taught that he could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him, but he lived it. And when you read Acts chapter 20, 22 through 24, you see this. Paul says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, knowing the things that shall befall me there." I'm sorry, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying, "Bonds and afflictions abide me." Then he says, "But none of those things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You read those verses and you say, how can I be like Paul? You're looking at this and you're saying, I'm being moved by so less. How can I be like Paul? And you feel like less than where you should be. Right here, the Word of God is being a little bitter. And maybe we don't want to back up and be honest with ourselves and say, I can be like Paul. What we need to do at those times is realize that the Word of God does have some bitter. And sometimes even the sweet turns bitter because in reflection you realize you pale in comparison. That's when you got to back up and remember some things we easily forget. Like, if you're a Christian, if you really obeyed the gospel of God and you're a member of His Son's body, the church, you know what that makes you? That doesn't make you just a person. It doesn't make you just a person in the world. It makes you a son or a daughter of the Almighty God. Look over at 1 John chapter 3. When we're going through difficult times and the Word of God isn't being so sweet as we want it to be, we got to back up and remember the simple things like who you are. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Now, here's where you got to say, wait a minute. Jesus suffered many things, Mark 8:31. But He manned up on the cross, didn't He? He didn't shrink. Why? He knew who He was. He knew He had a life that was purposed. You know, when we face challenges in life, look back at Proverbs 24. When we face challenges in life, and we have to overcome them, that often tells us what kind of man or woman you are. In Proverbs 24:10, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If you forget who you are and what you are, you'll shrink. You'll lose sight of the goal. You'll lose sight of the focus. You go through difficult times and you forget that you're a child of God, your strength is going to be small. You're not going to be able to have Paul's mentality. So here's where we need to back up. And maybe we swallowed some of this truth a little bit. Maybe it's a little bitter in our stomach because we feel like we're not measuring up to the faithful we read about in the Bible. Maybe we need to remember we are like them. You were born into Christ to be like them. You were born of the water and the Spirit, John 3:3-5, to be converted and be like them. You've been empowered to be like them. You can't shrink. You can't let your strength be small. You got to back up in difficult times and in bad days. Even when you turn to the wrong scripture, right? You're looking for the right one. You turn to the wrong. You got to remember how blessed you are. Maybe these are the scriptures you need to, you know, kind of, not literally don't do this, but figuratively write on the back of your eyelids so that when you close your eyes, you see them in your mind. Maybe you need to remind yourself how blessed you are spiritually. Everything can be taken from you in the world, but look at Ephesians 1 verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In Christ is the way that verse concludes. When we put these verses in our minds and we think about them, oh, the day is bad. I just turned to the wrong scripture. I read about the suffering of Paul, the suffering of Jesus, the promise of tribulation to come. Now I need to back up and remember who I am. Remember how blessed I am. You know, if we forget those things, the Bible is going to become a book of destruction instead of salvation. Instead of looking to this book and getting the encouragement we can get even out of those tough verses to swallow, we're going to fall. We can't forget what God has done. Look at what happened. If you turn back to the book of Psalms, chapter 106. Now, I'm not going to read this. You really want to do a good service to the subject. You can go and read this whole entire chapter. We're going to take some verses from it to get the gist of it. You know, they had sinned. They had done iniquity. This psalm points this out. But notice some of the things that are here. Psalm 106, beginning verse 7 through verse 23. And as we're reading through this, think about what happens when they forgot what God had done. Psalm 106, beginning verse 7, says, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved him for his name's sake, that he might make known his power, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. They believed his words. They sang his praise." Notice verse 13. "They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Oreb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they changed their glory in the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them." And the context goes on in a like manner. God saved them. They remembered it for a period of time. But what happened as soon as they forgot? They fell. As soon as they forgot. If we open the Bible and we choose not to remember the benefits, we're going to fall. We're going to find that the scriptures become too bitter. And they are bitter at times. You can't take that away. Sometimes truth is hard to swallow, especially in light of the things we talked about 2 weeks ago. But God is balanced. He doesn't just give us hard things to swallow. He gives us things to keep us coming back to the table. Things to make us open this book up and learn more and grow more. For example, consider this particular verse out of the Psalms. Look at Psalm 68, 19. While we talked 2 weeks ago about the truth being bitter, wisdom bring about much grief. Look at Psalm 68, 19. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Man, well, that's easy to forget, isn't it? If all you focus on is the things that's going bad and how difficult it is to be a Christian in the world, it's easy to forget the benefits that we're loaded with daily. Not just on occasion, but daily. You forget that. This book is not going to be a source of encouragement because you're going to focus more on the difficult verses and the negative side and not the positive. I mean, the key is to be balanced, isn't it? The key is to remember we go through difficult things in life, but we're blessed beyond recognition to most people. To keep that mindset. Look at another psalm back in Psalm chapter 40. Verse 5 says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts that are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." If we remember that God has done so many great things for us, so many that they can't even be numbered. You might read about Paul facing adversity in 2 Corinthians 4. But then you realize why he was able to say in Acts 20, 22 through 24 that he's not moved by those things. Because like anything else in life, you weigh the cost and the benefits. You have to suffer through some things in life. You know what? Whether you're a Christian or not, you're still going to have to do that. Might suffer a little bit more because you're living righteously. But the benefits? Eternal life. A relationship with the Almighty God. Having your sins forgiven. Being able to be a different person no matter how bad you've been in the past. There's not even a scale to weigh that on. The bitter, all of a sudden, may be in our stomach a little bit. But the sweet taste is overpowering. The fact, just like anything else, there are some things that I eat. I just know after I eat them, I'm not going to feel good. I still eat them. Maybe you've got some of those things that give you indigestion or whatever the case might be. To the displeasure of my wife, things that give me gas, you know. Fact of life, and she's like, "Oh no." But you like them. You know the stomach's going to be a little sour. You know you might have to follow it down with some Tums or some extra strength gas relief or whatever. But you still eat them. The benefits outweigh that upset stomach a little bit. The taste is that good that you're just going to eat them anyway. The Word of God doesn't just taste. You know, when we think about something that tastes great but leaves your stomach bitter, all of that is temporary. The Word of God builds us up and gives us an inheritance, Acts 20 and verse 32. It's not just a temporary benefit. We get to think about things through studying the Word of God where you should stop. You read Psalm 68:19 and you think, loaded daily with benefits. Now here's where I have a hard time preaching a lesson like this. It's not preaching till 4 o'clock. Trying to figure out how to make the point in fewer scriptures. Sometimes you got to funnel it down, right? Some of you guys are about to figure this out. Well, there is so much to cover when you think, when you stop and think about the daily benefits of being a child of the Almighty God. Let's cover a few. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. Says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Have you ever stopped and thought where you would be if God destroyed people at their first sin? Or at their second? Have you ever thought, I know when we're studying the book of Romans and other New Testament books, often make the point of how grateful we should be to be serving God under the new covenant of Christ and not under the old law of Moses. You know, I'm not going to go out and pick up sticks and be stoned to death for it. I've got the opportunity of repentance. We stop and think about that. No matter how bad of a day you've gotten, and you stop and think, I'm able to be saved not because of anything I'm doing, but because He's merciful. How can you not be thankful for that? How can you not turn that negative, bitter feeling in your stomach? Make this application. Maybe you're sitting back and you're studying the Word of God about hell, like we did 2 weeks ago. We talked about that in part. Maybe you're thinking about your mother or your father, your brother or your sister, your husband or your wife, maybe your child, maybe your next door neighbor, maybe a co-worker, somebody you care about, that you know if the Lord came today, they'd spend eternity in hell. That's bitter. Wouldn't you look at the flip side of this coin, though? If they're still alive today, look at Romans 2:4. If they're still alive today, what's possible? Romans 2:4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I'm thankful every day. Though I have a mother and a father who care not about my God, I'm thankful that if they're alive today, they might just have the opportunity to start thinking about it a little bit more than they have. So it's bitter. It's heartbreaking. But at the same time, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that they still have today. And I know that can't be said of everybody we love and care about who have left this world. But if you choose to dwell on the bitter, you're going to miss the sweet. You're going to miss the fact that God gave them the opportunity every day of their life to get it right. We serve a God who, if you think about yourself in comparison to Him, He is likely much more long-suffering than you are. And you can be thankful for that. You can be thankful for your sake and for the sakes of others that He goes as far as He has in being merciful. Think about the daily benefits on the carnal side, right? Look back at Genesis chapter 8. Loaded daily with benefits, carnally. In Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, says, "Noah building an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled his sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." You can be thankful that God made that promise. You can know that when they're on TV worried about the polar ice cap melting and global warming and all this other garbage, you can be thankful to know that there are going to be seasons. And while they might not be so nice in El Paso sometimes, there are going to be seasons. There's going to be time for things to grow. And there's going to be time for things to blossom. You could be thankful for that. You could think about how bad the world is all you want. But you got to step back and look at the things that God's not going to allow man to stop from happening. That's in His hands. I'm thankful for the things that are in His hands. That's in His hands. Look in the book of Psalms. Chapter 65, verses 9 through 13. It says, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest the corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness and thy paths dropping fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing." And as you go through the entirety of the Bible, how He causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, Matthew 5 and verse 45, how He sends rain, Acts 14 and verse 17. When you're sitting down today, whether you're eating something that's been made of grains of the earth or some form of meat, You need to step back and think, everything that I'm eating today requires God. That's why we need to be thankful every time we eat. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Give thanks for the things that we eat. We're loaded daily with benefits. I mean, not just, I know sometimes people just focus on, well, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to have this steak dinner. And I'm thankful for God. He's given me the ability to have a job, to buy a steak dinner. Look, it's even more elementary than that. The cow doesn't exist without him. The cow doesn't exist without something to eat. Something to eat doesn't exist without the rain that comes from above that both gives us the water we drink as well as feeds every creature that we consume. We are loaded daily with benefits and things that we easily overlook. Things that you know, frankly become so common to us that we don't think about how grateful we need to be for it. Things that we might not even like. You know, the winds that come. I know the winds aren't, but that's part of the change of seasons and helps things to move along the way that they need to. We need to be thankful for those things. I know this morning when I got up and walked outside and it sprinkled dirt all over the car windows. Now I'm like, oh, now I got to clean the windows on the car so I can see it look like our car took a mud bath. So I'm out basically washing my car early this morning. I'm still thankful for the rain. I mean, sometimes I wish it could have come around noon instead of, you know, 7 this morning, but I'm thankful for it. We need to be thankful for the little things. Even that little bit of rain, that helps. Especially when you live in the desert, right? It helps. We need to back up and think about the daily benefits we have carnally. The clothes you're wearing, the creatures of the earth that these garments have come from. You know, when you're sitting here looking through your corrective lenses today, whether you're wearing glasses or like I am, contacts. I mean, look around. A lot of us have some form of corrective lenses either in our eyes or on our faces right now. You know what? Take your glasses off. I know one thing. I would be sitting here going, and, you know, or I'd have one of those huge, large print Bibles because I'm the guy that when I take my contacts out or glasses off, I could walk into a wall. So we need to be thankful that we have all that we do that we so easily take for granted in carnal things. Add to that the spiritual side. That blows the discussion out the water. You know, Psalm 86 and verse 15, for example, says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and graces, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." We could go through 100 verses that say things like that and still not, you know, proverbially touch the hem of the garment. The facts that you've got a relationship with God, you know, somebody who is not a child of the Almighty, a person who is in sin, doesn't have a relationship with God. The Bible says he hears them not, John 9 and verse 31. You, if you've obeyed the gospel and you're a faithful child of God, you have a relationship with the Creator of all things. I've been watching, or I should say listening to, as you know I'm a sports fan, ESPN and the NFL Network during the week. And I've been watching the superstar treatment of these guys and how people want their autographs. And many times I heard this statement where somebody would be interviewing somebody, a football player. I mean a football player. Come on, right? They're getting paid to play. They're interviewing these guys and they're saying things like, you know, it's just a pleasure to talk to you. We just like to get to know you a little bit better. Think about this. When you pray, you are talking to the Creator of all things, the Almighty God. And that is a privilege that He only gives to His people. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." We have daily spiritual benefits. The blood of Christ. If I've obeyed the gospel, If I transgress, I can go to God. I can confess that sin, 1 John 1 and verse 7. And the blood of His Son will wash it away. Confession is 1 John 1 verse 9. I don't know what I told you. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. That's a daily benefit. Not that we should be using it daily, but it's there for us if perhaps we need it. Take that away. What then? What if once you came up out of the water, the Bible says the first time you sin, you're gone permanently. I wouldn't be here. Many of us, can't speak for all, I don't know that for sure, might not be here today. But we can go to God, we can repent of our sins, we can confess, and we can be back in a relationship with Him, having Him hear us again, having the face that He might turn away, albeit for a moment, back to us. Not that we ought to be exercising that daily benefit, but if need be. We can't discount those things. Yeah, there may be some bitter here, but the sweet far outweighs it. Think about the eternal benefits. Look at the book of Jude. It's a one chapter book right before the book of Revelation. Jude verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, no matter what health you're in or how safe you are in life, you know you're living on a short stick. You know that life is going to end and that we're rather fragile. I mean, it doesn't take much. You can just slip and break your neck and be done in seconds. We're fragile, as tough as we may think we are. We are fragile. But what God has to offer is called eternal life. You won't be with God in heaven waiting for it to end. It won't. If that's not a benefit, when we consider what it is to live in this world, I don't know what is. When you look at the Bible, you learn that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6, verse 23. And you think about it. Think about all the gifts you've been given in life. Probably a lot of them don't exist anymore, right? I mean, think back to your childhood. How many toys are you still playing with, right? Think back to that special thing that somebody got you. One time I got Katrina this glass engraved thing for one of our anniversaries, and then our boys were being idiots and broke it. Things don't last forever. They break. They fall apart. They wither away. Eternal life. Been given to us by God. When we look at look at this. Consider, look, 1 John chapter 5. When we back up and we consider loaded daily with benefits and we look toward the future of eternity. In 1 John 5, 11 through 13, it says, this is the record that God's given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. We have life through Christ. Now, when you want to back up and you want to weigh something, think about it. What did that cost Jesus? It cost Him leaving heaven, coming to earth, suffering and dying, so that we could have the eternal benefit of life with His Father. Now, if you're weighing in your mind eternal benefits, and you're thinking about the difference between the bitter and the sweet, man, look at Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be studying these verses coming up in our Tuesday night classes, but in Romans 8, 17 and 18, it says, if the children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That is a very powerful statement. Whatever we go through in life is not worthy to be compared to what we're going to have in eternity. Like I said earlier, there's not a scale to measure that on. It'll break it. You can't measure it. You can't compare it. It's not worthy to be in this discussion. When you think about it, let's stay in Romans 8. Look down at verses 31 through 39. You're thinking about spiritual benefits. Paul says here, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not he with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for thy slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you weigh anything you got that's bitter with that context. Yes, it's hard to think about people we love that are lost. Yes, it's hard to think about what we've done to God when we've sinned. Yes, it's hard to think about what we've done to others when we've sinned. But you can change that. You can't change other people. You can change you. You can know that there are going to be people that are lost, and that's bitter. But that there is one who loves you enough to send his only begotten Son in this world to make you part of an inseparable love so long as you'll have it. The choice is all yours. How is that not being loaded with benefits? You know, you think about people that are in the job market, right? They want a job that pays well. They want a job that gives them health insurance, etc., 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 etc. Oh, can I get a 401k if the government doesn't take it, etc. People measure the benefits and they compare the job. Let's do that real briefly. Let's see how long of a discussion that ought to be. I can do anything I want and I can go to hell. Or I can do everything he wants and I can go to heaven. That's what you have to weigh. For those that say, I just want to go to hell, I recommend a psychologist and hard drugs to figure out what's wrong with you. But a lot of people make those decisions. They haven't properly weighed it. If people spent the same amount of time they do looking for the perfect job and weighing whether to bank on hell or heaven, we might have a few more people here today. Might not be something we struggle with. We ought to be looking at these verses we're looking at now and think, yes, it's going to be bitter sometimes. But it's not worthy to be compared with what I'm going to get in the end. And then, with the ones we count that are lost, I know that's hard. I know that personally. A lot of us do. But think about the ones you helped to be saved. The ultimate thing is, it's all everybody's individual choice. You can't make anybody. That would be great to be able to drag people to heaven with us. Get a U-Haul, load them up by the dozens. Doesn't work that way. God wants people to choose him, not be forced to serve him. We have to accept that. That's bitter. And we have to balance that with a Savior who says, I'm going to give you the same choice I give everybody else. And if you choose me, here's what you need to know. Jesus went to prepare for us a place, John 14, 1 through 3. And if you do what's right, you can be there. If they do what's right, they can too. Sometimes you got to not be so bitter. Sometimes that continual sorrow in your heart, Romans 9, 1 through 3, Paul had because of Israel being lost. Sometimes you got to set that aside to think about, hey, being with Christ is far better. It's what he said in Philippians 1. Ready to be with the Lord. Have to have the right mindset, though. Whenever you think about benefits, look back at the book of Psalms again, chapter 116 this time. Having the right mindset. Yes, we're benefited to be Christians. If you are. Psalm 116:12, though, Lord wants to keep the right mind. It says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What can I really do to repay God for everything he's done? There's no way. You know, yes, it's the whole duty of man to fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:12-13. That's why we're created. So it's not like you're repaying God when you do what's right. In fact, look over at Luke 17. We live in a world where people want commendations for everything they do. They want awarded in some way and rewarded in others. They want people to tell them, you've done a great job. You're awesome. Good. You know, we're not going to get that from God. We're going to get far greater and a reward. But we're not going to go through every day with him patting us on the back. Why? He wants us to have the right attitude about it. Look at Luke 17, 7 through 10. It says, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants, which have done that which is our duty to do. When we weigh all the benefits of being a Christian, we can't let it get to our head. Some people have problems like that. You know, sometimes they think, oh yeah, I'm a child of God. Yeah, but you got to maintain a humility with that. You've got to understand and remind yourself continually that yes, you had a part in becoming a child of God, but his part was greater than ours. We come back to him. You also left. It's like somebody who has ruined a relationship. The person who ruins a relationship has some making up to do. The person that allows that relationship to continue is the one you ought to be thankful for. That's God. We ought to keep the right frame of mind about, yes, we are abundantly blessed materially and spiritually. We are abundantly blessed. One way we can do that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Somebody made a comment in our class this morning. Unrelated in subject, but consistent in principle. And said that there are times past where people have gone through worship by just going through the motions. And preaching had been like that in times past where sometimes a sermon was just about, oh, a sermon needs to be preached today, so somebody's going to preach it. We can't go through life like that as Christians. When we're thankful, like 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're thankful to God, don't just say the words. Go through some of the principles we talked about in this lesson. And think about it a little bit. You know, I don't know how you can properly word. I haven't mastered that. As thankful as I am to God for everything that I have, am, and will be. I don't know how to put that in words. Because recognizing what he has done is frankly beyond anything I can express verbally. When you give thanks, keep that in mind. Don't just go through the, Lord, I'm thankful for my food, or Lord, I'm thankful for this. Keep in mind what has been done to give you all things. So so that you're saying thanks with your mouth or with your mind, but at the same time, you're invested in that word thank you, or those words thank you, with your heart. Have you ever met the person who says thanks a lot, and you know they didn't mean a thing they just said to you? We can't become those people with God. We've got to be the people who step back and think about how loaded we are with benefits. Because, yeah, we could go through Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18, etc., and see that we're supposed to give thanks. We could see that in the Bible. But the attitude of thankfulness goes beyond words. The humility of a servant has to be behind those words of thanks. Look over at Hebrews 13. The attitude of thanks. I remember when our children were younger, going through this lesson with them. Both Katrina and I grew up with very little as far as earthly possessions went. And thus, we both know how to squeeze some dollars. And our children, they've been through some rough times, like when we lived in the first house we lived in Butler, Pennsylvania, all the mice that we had. And it was really only a one-bedroom house. They had to sleep in the attic and et cetera. But that's sometimes the price that comes with preaching. So they've gone through some time, but not to the level Katrina I have been through in life, and I'm sure some of you others. So we've constantly tried to point out to our children that they're spoiled in terms of what this world really has to offer a common person. We got to remind ourselves of that. Frankly, everybody here that I know of, you're spoiled as far as what this world, you know, really has to offer. So in Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. One way to have the right mindset about God and life in general is not always to be thinking about what you want that you don't have, but to stop and be thankful for what you do. We live in a society that focuses on yesterday and tomorrow and never lives today. You can't always be worrying about what happened yesterday and thinking about what's coming up on tomorrow and miss how you're loaded daily with benefits, spiritually and carnally. If you don't take those moments to stop, you know, that worldly phrase of stop and smell the roses, you know, sooner or later, those roses die. And one day you look back and you think about the things you had that you never really learned to appreciate. If you fall away, a relationship with God will be one of those things. We're loaded with daily benefits that we need to think about. And when we think about them, we don't need to take upon ourselves the wrong attitude of look at what I've done, but be thankful for what He has done. We are to glorify God in our body and our soul, which are His. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. If you are the CEO of the biggest company in the world, you've been blessed with a mind that God gave you. We talked about in Bible class this morning a familiar scripture that, you know, God gives us our abilities. 1 Peter 4:11. God gives us our abilities. You got to remember that verse. You can't forget it. If we forget verses like that, then we start thinking of look at what I have done, and we stop forgetting who had the biggest part in that. Sometimes parents look at their children and they tell them things like, don't remember, don't forget, I brought you into this world. Well, us parents need to remember something in that too. Without God, none of us exist in this world. And without God's part, we didn't bring any child into this world. So it goes deeper than remembering mom and dad. Not that that's bad. That's a good thing. Honor thy mother and thy father. You want to obey them. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. But at the same time, remember our Creator had a big part in this. We are loaded. That's. I mean, when you think about that verse we read earlier, Psalm 68:19, just the wording, loaded. And we're talking about benefits, loaded with benefits. How often? Daily. daily, spiritually and carnally. I got a verse that I want you to read and then we'll conclude this lesson. Look at Psalm 103, verse 2. This ought to be, if you're a child of the Almighty God, your attitude. Psalm 103 and verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." He goes on to talk about who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth thy diseases, etc., etc. Don't forget, you're loaded daily with benefits. So sometimes you might open this book, it might be sweet to the taste and bitter in the stomach. But the end of going through that is eternal life. The present is daily blessings. A good meal of the Word of God is sometimes worth the upset stomach you get afterwards, because the benefits go far beyond that bitter feeling. It's worth it. When you open this book up and you find it to be a little hard to swallow, step back and think about the big picture. Don't just get stuck. When I preached that lesson 2 weeks ago, I was thinking of several members of the congregation here and some people that were visiting with us too, that I know were paying difficult prices for choosing to obey God. They were having relationship problems, difficult discussions, difficulties at work. I know some of you go to work and you wish you could be deaf so you didn't have to hear all the things that are said around you. And sometimes you open the Bible and it just basically you say, well, you know, this is what life is like. That's what you see, right? And that's not real encouraging. Just don't stop your studies there. Think about the benefits, not just the cost. It's worth it. It's not worthy to be compared. Maybe you're not a Christian. Why do you wait? Why do you tell God, give me another day? Why don't you tell Him today? So that if Jesus came today, you'd be ready. If death came today, you'd be ready. So that you can lay down with peace of mind, knowing that God tells us that we need to be converted. Acts 3:19. Knowing some of the things we talked about in the lesson today, like, hey, his ears are open to the righteous, but not me right now. Let Him hear from you. In a way that's obedient rather than disobedient. Everybody here, you've heard the gospel message plenty of times. You know that I can't encapsulate it all in 30 seconds or 5 minutes. You know that Jesus died on the cross. You can read that in Luke 23 amongst other accounts. You know He was resurrected in Luke 24. You know He ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1. You know that He sent His disciples into the world to preach that you need to hear, believe, and be baptized, Acts 18:8. You know that you've got to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. You know that you've got to be able to stand before men and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. The Ethiopian eunuch had to do that before he was baptized in Acts 8:37 when Philip took his confession. You know from hearing the gospel that after you've obeyed, there's much required of you. You're going to be a member of His body, the church. We had a Bible class this morning on, you know, how we need to bring young men up to be leaders in the future. You'd be part of work like that. Not just focused on you, but focused on others. Part of a brotherhood that will reach beyond this life. You could be loaded way beyond the physical benefits with spiritual ones daily. If we can help you, either stick around afterwards today and say, hey, I got questions. Ask them. Give you a Bible answer. Or if you know what's expected of you and you're ready to obey, we'd love that opportunity as we stand and sing.